So this question could arguably be a what the fuck type question in the sense that there's a lot of terminology here that could warrant some explanation. I think the starting point is looking at the FEV1 over FVC and seeing that it's decreased, which is consistent with obstructive lung disease. We normally see, or the normal range for FEV1 over FVC is 70 to 80. So if we have below 70, we say obstructive. If we have normal or increased, we could say restrictive. The DLCO, which is the diffusion capacity for the lung of carbon monoxide, correct, monoxide, not dioxide, that's just an indicator of the ability of gas exchange to occur. It just says, are we able to have gas exchange? And what you need to know for the USMLE is it's going to be decreased in pretty much every lung condition, okay? It's increased in asthma. So the utility when you're answering USMLE questions is, If you ever get a vague vignette and you're like, not really sure what the diagnosis is, but then you see that the DLCO is decreased, you can say, okay, not asthma. All right. So that's the utility it'll have. And you just see it here, decrease. You just say, well, okay, pulmonary pathology, decreased ability for gas exchange. Fair enough. The loud P2, that'll sometimes just be synonymous with a loud S2. Okay. It just refers to the pulmonic valve closing. And it's loud in the setting of pulmonary hypertension. All right, so it just means you've got a lot of pressure from the pulmonary arteries. So, and then the jugular venous distension just means that our pressure is backing up to the jugular vein, okay? So looking at this patient's profile overall, we say, well, this patient has obstructive lung disease and there's some pulmonary hypertension ensuing. And is JVD, so we may or may not have core pulmonale, which is right heart failure due to a pulmonary cause. It's not so important to dissect out the extent of the right heart failure, but we at least at the minimum know we have pulmonary hypertension from the loud P2 in the setting of obstructive lung disease. Now, looking at the answer choices, this really comes down to endothelin 1 versus nitric oxide synthase. The rest are distractors. The answer here is nitric oxide synthase. Because if we have pulmonary hypertension, then it means we must not have a vasodilator, right? I mean, that makes sense. The confusion is in the setting of, or I should say, referring to endothelin 1, because that's a molecule that students will hear quite frequently when they start studying pulmonary stuff. Endothelin 1 is a vasoconstrictor, and it tends to be increased in the setting of pulmonary hypertension. So an endothelin 1 receptor antagonist, bosentan, that's a high-yield treatment for pulmonary hypertension. If you know that endothelin 1 antagonism is a treatment for pulmonary hypertension, and that's going to increase the diameter of the pulmonary vessels, then endothelin 1 agonism would constrict the pulmonary vessels. So in this setting where this patient has pulmonary hypertension, it doesn't make sense to say that he would have a deficiency of a vasoconstrictor, okay? So this question, students who answer endothelin 1, it's because their line of thinking only goes so far as to say, oh yeah, I've heard of that before, endothelin 1, but they don't really understand. They don't remember that it's a vasoconstrictor, okay? And then the other molecule is diacylglycerol. You could just know that that is increased when you have G-alpha-Q, G-protein agonism. I don't really want to go down that rabbit hole right now. Thrombomodulin, that is a cofactor for thrombin. It actually turns it into an act. If thrombomodulin is a cofactor for thrombin, which is normally pro-coagulation, right? Thrombin. But if thrombomodulin acts as a cofactor for thrombin, thrombin will activate protein C, which is an anti-coagulation molecule. Protein C will inactivate activated clotting factors 5 and 8. If what I just said sounds really fucking confusing, I understand, but that's just your short description of thrombomodulin right there. And then vascular endothelial growth factor, no reason to assume that that would be increased in this setting. You could be aware of that VEGF could be increased in the proliferation of vessels in the retina with wet neovascular macular degeneration. You can get VEGF inhibitors sometimes used as treatments. Bevacizumab, a VEGF inhibitor that has utility for some cancers. Okay, that's it.